point out, you should have with your bulletins a little flyer here talking a bit about the ministry and the radio station. And if you don't have that, you can, I'm sure, pick one on the table afterwards. I'll be out at the table there. And also an envelope as well, which we hope you'll use and in support of the ministry. And you know, I just want to say a few words before I get into the Word of God here about Spirit FM. And I guess most of you are probably aware of the ministry we have. I think we're in year 4 or 5 now. I can't remember what. But God, you know, opened the door for us to do this. This was not something I was looking for at all. I had not, didn't have anything in my mind about this whatsoever. And it kept coming knocking on my door all the time. And finally, after the second time, I turned down the opportunity to buy out the studio and equipment from radio station that had been sold in Lethbridge. Then the third time around, the Lord spoke to me about it. And what the Lord was speaking to me about was, because every time I considered it, which I thought was a good chance and opportunity, I just felt overwhelmed and burdened by the responsibility and all the things to do. I just know I don't have the strength to do it. And so I turned it down. And the third time around, the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly. And he said, "Terry, who told you have to worry about all this stuff?" And I said, "Okay, fine, Lord. If this is your radio station, then I'll do it. But you've got to be the one working. I can't be me. I mean, there's work, but it can't be me carrying it. There's no way to do this." And, you know, I won't be, how can I put it? I won't hold anything back here. We've had from time to time, real financial difficulties going forward, and some of you know that I've had to do other businesses on the side, because essentially, if there's not enough support at the station, then I have to spend my time elsewhere, and I still do travel and preach elsewhere, but that's usually not enough in the way of honorariums for myself. So we find ourselves in that kind of predicament, right, again, needing about $1,000 a month in regular support to bring it up to at least part of where it should be. And but just let me say this, a Total Change Ministry is the ministry in back of Spirit FM. We started that back when I first came here about 1989, right at the end of 89 and 90. And the goal, the vision was revival, still is. The vision is to see cities and nations touched in whatever way God opens to us for the Lord. We've done mission work overseas in India. Right now, Michaela Falk, who's, you know, from the Falk clans up in Black Creek. She is one of our missionaries. She's over in the Philippines. She was over there and trained up as a midwife, and she's back there working right now. And we've done a lot of different projects like that. And of course, Spirit FM is one of them. And, well, it's been interesting. Every week I hear something from somebody talking about how they're blessed by the station, or somebody drops in and talks, or some door opens to us. And it's been a good ministry that way, and I only wish I could give all my time to it. And the vision, though, is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about something which I hope would affect you so that you would look at the world differently than you do. And we'll get into that in a moment. But the vision that I see is that God's love can come on Campbell River in such a way that the spiritual atmosphere can shift over our city. Does that sound right? You know, there's a lot of different ways to do this, ministry and lots of stations. You know, they look at spending time a lot on the prophetic, or a lot on this or a lot on that. And, of course, we're a music station predominantly. But out of my own walk comes this particular calling that the kingdom of God and the heart of God is to bless our city in a profound way, and to change and shift the spiritual atmosphere of our city. And we've seen things happen, I believe. I wish I'd written down dates. Initially with the radio station, I felt God urging me, begin to speak my love over Campbell River on the air, and begin to speak my blessing to the economics of the city. And that's at the time the millage shut, and we were right at the bottom when we started the station. We were. And I felt God was just saying, declare it, say it, you know. Pray it. Prophesy it. I want to bless the city. I want to release my goodness and grace. Now, you see, you know, for Christians, you can go a couple directions in this stuff. You can go the other direction. You can be critical. You know, you can get into spiritual warfare. You can analyze the situation. You can see the negatives that are at work, because there's negatives at work all the time, right? And you can get into all that stuff. But you know what? I want to tell you, that's not the kingdom we're in. You see, it's true. The devil does this stuff, and things happen, sins everywhere, and it's true, but that's not our kingdom. Our kingdom, the kingdom of God, is a profound kingdom of God's grace, love, and blessing. And if you have faith for that and believe that, stuff happens. So I started to declare this on the air about God's blessing to the economics, and within a couple of months, we started having announcements. For example, the hydro project got announced. Now, praise the Lord. You know, then the hospital projects get announced. You know, then the big building downtown get announced. And then, you know, it's just gone on and on and on. And I continue to say this. God loves Campbell River, and he wants to bless the city. Now, I'm not minimizing. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're not minimizing anything. You know, everybody's at work. You know, there's city council and other things are there. Moving things forward, they're doing all the things that got to be done in that end. But there's something about saying and praying and believing for God's goodness and grace. And I'm going to get into some of that from the Bible in a few minutes here. Next year or two, I started saying, God, come on our city and begin to bless our natural resources. And they were kind of low too at that point. And that year, we started seeing the fish increase. And increase, and increase, and increase. And what can I say? And increase. And, you know, after a couple of years of what's happened with the pinks in the river, and we get over 1 million return last year, never heard of that. I'm just going, God, this is overwhelming. Thank you, Lord. And the coho coming back, and we were able to keep a wild coho last year. And lots of this happening. Thank you, God, you see? And this is part of the heart and soul and spirit that we're bringing in the radio. It's not so much that you tune in, you listen and hear the music, and, you know, the music good instead of, another station where it may not be good, or somebody on the air teaching or preaching. That's not so much of the flow of it as let's watch what God does. Let's believe it. Let's see it. Let's move in this thing, because that really has become the flow for my own life. And with that in mind, you know, we have to rely on that monthly support to be able to get that done. So as God moves your heart, you know, I'm not asking for anybody to do something. Sure, if you want to give just because you'd like to, great. But there's people God talks to from time to time, and you're the ones that he uses to join hands with us in the ministry and make it happen and to make a way for it to happen. And there's been a lot of times when I just simply have to be on my face praying to come through with the bills and that kind of stuff, because they can be onerous. We just had to put in a emergency broadcast system. Found out last November when we're filling out the CRTC reports, the annual reports that we have to do, and there's a ton of paperwork. You got to believe it for radios. It's ridiculous. But and they said, here's a whole section in the report. What are you doing about the emergency broadcast system that's mandated by the CRTC? I go, what? You know, looking at this, I never heard about this. And it has to be running by March. And so I phone up CRTC, and they pass it off to their guy on this kind of stuff. And I said, how come we don't know anything about it? Oh, CRTC decided this last August. How come we didn't hear about it? Didn't they send a circular out? Nope, didn't send anything to anybody. So, yeah, I don't know what they think we're psychic out here or something. You know, I guess the Holy Spirit could have told me. But anyway, so I said, God, we've got to do something. We started looking for the piece of hardware. And normally this hardware that they already have from the United States was about $2,500. And what it does is it will connect up to the internet or satellite or whatever streams that come from, like, the weather network. Has a company called the Pelmarex, and they issue alerts for the whole country and cities and weather and earthquake and everything goes in that. And this hardware will listen to it and then, you know, play when it's your area. And immediately the hardware goes up to over $4,000. Because now we are suddenly, everybody has to have it. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, help me. So I started searching on the internet, trying to find out. I thought, it must be some software, must be something. Finally connected with a fellow in the Yukon and with the college up there. They had been developing broadcasting for the far north. And I said, could you put it in a standalone unit? And worked back and forth with them, and we've got it into a standalone unit operating now, finally. And so, you know, unexpected expense for us was ended up being about $1,500. Thank you, Lord, it wasn't $4,500 or whatever it was going to be. So, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens, and there's lots of business with the station that we have to do. But the heart is to bless the city and to reach out to the Lord. And I'd like to sing just one more song here by the band Petra, and then they'll share from the Word. So I want to talk today about having God's heart for the world around you. Having God's heart for the world around you. I'm inviting you today to see the world differently, to see it through God's eyes, and that makes all the difference in the world. Get caught up in the vision of what the Father sees, of what Christ sees when you see others, when you see the world. You know, the story, it's interesting, the story in John chapter 11, I won't go through that part right now, but it's where Lazarus died, and then Jesus raises them from the dead. And he comes, of course, he comes late, and everybody's weeping and such. And he goes up to the tomb, and he stands there at the tomb before they rolled the stone away, and it says, Jesus wept. You ever wondered why Jesus wept? Some people say, well, he's weeping because of his sympathy with Martha and Mary weeping over their brother. And you know, I look at that answer and I go, no, I don't think so. Because he knows he's going to be raised from the dead, right? Why is he weeping at that point? He hasn't done that. And then, you know, other explanations. But the one I think is the explanation is he's weeping because he is moved with the love of the Father for this situation, for the world. He's moved with the compassion of the Father at this moment. So much so that he begins to weep. And it's out of this compassion, out of this heart, that the miracles flow. The miracle of the resurrection flowed out of that heart. But you see in other places in the Gospels where, you know, it says things like this, Jesus had compassion. And that word means, splagnethia, means like down in his guts. He's just moved down in there with this compassion, this love. And he heals the multitudes. Something happens when we are moved with what moves God. You understand what I'm saying? It's funny, you know, you can pray about all kinds of things and ask all kinds of things and lay hands on and try to get yourself going and moving in the Spirit. And it can take a while and you're trying to, you know, get there. And but when you touch what is in God's mind, all of a sudden the power of God shows up. You ever notice that? All of a sudden the presence of the Lord starts to move. It starts to move. And it's profound. And, well, it's amazing what can happen. Now, Paul, I'm going to look here in 2 Corinthians at something that's interesting with Paul. He says in chapter 4 that we proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the shining light of God. And of course we know that that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, because this is how he does. He comes in and his light begins to illumine in us. But then Paul, right away, starts to talk about his weakness. There's an interesting track going on here. He starts talking about his weakness. Then he talks about what God does in working in the weakness. And then in chapter 5, he begins to talk about this entirely different point of view. Now, I've got to say for myself, in the last 15 years or so, I've never come so face-to-face with my own weakness and at the same time seen God do remarkable things. And when I say weakness, you know, by weakness you mean like you're at the end of yourself. For example, you know, when Paul talks about this, he is talking here in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 10, about this. He says, I'll read it and then I'll explain it here. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. Amazing. Now, just a couple of the words there. For example, when he talks about we are afflicted in every way, the word is thlebo in Greek. And what it really means is he's being squeezed tighter and tighter. Circumstances, situations are squeezing you in tighter. You ever felt like that? You're praying, God, what can I do? What can I do? And squeezing in. And in fact, one of the illustrations they give is like you're squeezed into a tight place, even like a cave. I remember a few years ago going crawling through Horn Lake Caves. And there's a couple of real squeezes, they call it, you know. And you can get into these squeezes so much so that you're trying to come down between the wall or maybe on your belly, and it's so tight you're kind of holding your breath in just to get along there, and you think, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get stuck here. I can hardly breathe, you know. And when you can get through and out the other side, there's a room. Now, at Horn Lake, there's another way you can go around that doesn't squeeze you. But that's what he's getting at. But then he says he's not crushed. He's afflicted but not crushed. Now, what it means is he's in a place where there's no room left. Literally, thlebo means like no room left. No room left. And then he says not crushed. But then he's basically saying, but he's not out of the picture. There is some room. God's bringing room. Just when, you know, we're thinking there's no room left, God's bringing room. And then another one he's talking about, for example, is perplexed. We are perplexed. Aporeo is the word there. It's another one of these words, but it means you don't know the road. There's no path. There's no way to go. You don't know how to turn. What am I going to do now? That's what it means. What's my road? What do I do now? Anybody been there? Maybe you're there right now. What am I going to do right now? I don't know what to do. I have been that place so many times in the last 10 or 15 years. It's crazy. I've been like that financially, especially because when I stopped pastoring, I lost my regular salary. And I just keep crying out to God. God, look like no way out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And perplexed, that's what it means. And not only that, the word in Greek is not in the aorist tense. It means like a recurring thing. This happened not just once, but could happen again. And but then he says he's not in despair. And the not in despair actually means in Greek, you know, the perplexed is the word aporio. Not in despair is ex aporio. Means I'm in a situation with no way out. And then it's not no way out. I have a way out. I'm in a place, there's no way out, and then I have a way out. This is the way God works. Then I have a way out. I like in the movie Star Trek, the new Star Trek movie, and Kirk says when they're, you know, right into this kind of a situation, he says, I think it's Spock who's questioning him, and he says, I don't know what to do. I only know what I can do. You know, that's the kind of feeling you get in the middle of some of these situations. So, Paul goes on to talk about his life in me. I'm experiencing death in Christ, that his life in me, inside me, he's saying, may be coming out. Now, after all, if you were completely strong in every way as a human being, you had all your own resources, completely self-reliant, self-sufficient in every way, what would you do? You probably wouldn't be calling out to God very much at all, would you? So there we go. That's what he's talking about, his life in me. And he goes on to talk about this. Really, it's a completely different point of view. Now, our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. And he works his way through to, and you can read the whole thing later, works his way through to chapter 5. And this is where I want to land right now. Really, my main point, starting at verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore we've all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Or another translation says we regard no one according to a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who has, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, he has given us in four statements here a different view of how you see things as you walk in the world. And it comes as you rely on him and the pressures and begin experiencing the working of his power inwardly coming out. The first thing he says is, the love of Christ controls us. Now, he's not meaning my love for Christ. That's not what he's saying, that I just love God so much that keeps, you know, I keep everything under control because I love God so much. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the love of Christ, God's love, Christ's love, is in control. And it's at work in him. And the word control means like he's being crowded in. It's surrounded, kept. What is this love in us? I first encountered this when I went down to the revival in Argentina about 1997 or so. We had people coming up from that revival in Argentina. In case you didn't know it, for about 10 years, there was just massive revival in Argentina. Remember, they'd had the Falklands War back in the late 80s, I think it was, and there was a low ebb. They predominantly were, they said they were Roman Catholic and everything else, and this revival started down there. It was massive. It changed the whole country, changed the politics, change the people, spirit-filled people coming up everywhere. The presence of God, you could feel the presence of God walking around Buenos Aires. I tell you, it was something else. So I went down there because we kept on connecting over and over and over again, and I was invited to go down with the team. And we had an awesome time. We went to, at that time, was the second biggest church in the world. Got to preach in some of their annex churches and that sort of thing, and were there for a number of services. They had a big theater, downtown theater. This is just the mother church now. Seats about 3,000 people. Get this. They had 10 services a day, 7 days a week. And they're lining up in the streets. You couldn't park. There's no parking. Everybody coming in taxis and buses and in from work whenever suits their schedule. And at Christmas time, when they wanted to try to gather most of the church together, they would rent the 90,000-seat stadium in Buenos Aires and have to hold two Christmas services back-to-back to try to accommodate all the congregation. 180,000 people coming in. Can you believe that? And it's still going on. And we had some awesome time. And I knew God wanted me there. So on the way back in the plane, I said, okay, God, what did you want to show me? And the plane was almost empty, so I sat off in a corner and just started praying and sitting there and listening to God. And the Holy Spirit started bringing to mind what they were doing. Everywhere I looked, they were blessing each other. And I thought that, yes, that's right. That was a curious, weird thing. What they're blessing, always wanting to bless each other. Came to my mind one of the incidents. We had a hostess with our group of seven. In between some of the church services, we might go downstairs into their you know, room for guests. And she would bring out coffee and all that kind of stuff. And one time we went down there, she wasn't there. And another lady came and did it. And a little bit later on, the first lady, our hostess, comes in, and they kind of start arguing back and forth. And I turned to my friend who speaks Spanish, and I said, what are they saying? Oh, they said, our hostess lady is saying to the other lady, why did you take away my chance to bless them? And I thought, what is this mindset? And God started talking to me about the mindset. The mindset of the kingdom is to bring the heart and the blessing of God to people. The love, the flow of God is the goodness and grace of God. This is how they worked the revival. And this started setting something whole, completely different in me. That we were had to begin to have a love of God working in me. Well, I've always asking God, help me do this, help me do that. I was a striving kind of a pastor and minister, striving. So I was the kind of person, if I can just do the right spiritual thing, I can see God move. You know what I'm saying? Come on. A whole lot of you there too. If I can just pray the right way, you know, just push it through fast enough, if I can do this or do this spiritual thing, oh, if I get the right teaching, you know, and you become like they used to call them a tapeworm back then, because always audio tapes, right? And, you know, or bookworm or whatever, you know, and you know, if I can just get this new, just get this. For me, I grew up in a charismatic movement, you know, Pentecostal, and it was the norm. So in my story, you know, Four Square Church, if you really got going, and God moved like crazy at our church. I mean, he really did. But it was out of his love, and I didn't get it. I'm thinking, I got to keep up this particular kind of spiritual performance, and I'm burning out. Right? And now I'm seeing something completely different. They're just relaxed and wanting to bless. I want that. I want that. And then, you know what? The second point comes up here. Something happened early 2000s to me. Something that changed things. I didn't know about this, but my friend Bob Bressay and I went out traveling. He just entered into quite a healing ministry. And he would always talk about this love of God coming in, this love anointing. And, you know, I knew about the love of God and experienced God's love coming and all this sort of thing. We've been in renewal. I mean, the joy of the Lord, all that sort of stuff. But what is this about that? No, he's talking about the love of God. God's love for the people that we are praying for right now in this meeting. This love of God comes down into you or into them. You're not asking God to help you love them. You're letting God's love be in you loving them. Like as if I could be filled with the love of God for a person or for the city so that the Lord clothes himself with me. You understand what I'm saying? So much so that this love of God, can you imagine this? If the love of God for Campbell River, how God sees Campbell River comes into you and starts to work and he clothes himself with you, it will change what you feel and see towards the city. You'll be in tune with God's heart. And believe me, it's not the way we normally look at things as Christians. It's quite different. It's unbelievably different. It's so compassionate. And I experienced this coming into my life, and oh my goodness, it started changing everything. And I want this all through every area of my life. And so that's what Paul's saying. We begin, so we're not regarding anyone from a human point of view. Shortly after that, next year, I went to India, and my first trip to India, and you know what? I had a lot of people warning me. I had some good, strong, solid, you know, mature believers in Christ, like ministers. Watch out for those demons. You know, the spiritual warfare in India is so heavy. You know, the priests can send all those curses. Well, the first day I was there, I won't go into the story because it'll take too long here, but I got so filled with God's love for India, it just blew everything else out the door. Oh, I could feel was God going, oh, I want India for myself. I want them to worship me. He's just filling me up with this. And it was like immediately I knew in that love there's no demon. There's no sin or wickedness. There's no, nothing can separate from the love of God. God wants to have India. And you know what? Miracles just bam, 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 bam. We just saw so many miracles, healings, deliverance, cripple in the street comes healed, just overhearing our meeting talking about Jesus and his love. She jumps up, she's healed out in the street. This Hindu lady comes running into the meeting. We had all kinds of stuff happening like that. Amazing what happened. And when I looked, I did, you know, we ended up visiting in a Hindu priest's home. I didn't see Hindu priest or his family. I just saw, this is somebody God loves. They had demon power. What? So what? Doesn't it? I didn't even, you know, we saw demonized people delivered. I didn't even hardly see the demonized thing. You know, the demon, yeah, sure, it's a demon. So what? I see the love of God freeing them. You know, it's like that. And so here's this new look that Paul's talking about in this passage. We regard no one according to the flesh, the natural way of seeing them. And he said, goes on to say that we're a new creation. A new creation. Now, how does this all work? What changes? Well, the next part of the passage is the important part. It says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespass against us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now he says, you know, he's saying, he's listing those other things I just talked about, and he says, all this is from God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, what is that about here? The word is katalasso. He's done it. He's finished. It's an active and complete change where God, in his relationship to the world and the sins of the world and the fallenness of the world, has reconciled himself. It's done. He's reconciled to himself all the idol worshipers. Now, before you think, okay, oh, Terry's a universalist. He's saying there's no sin, there's no, you know, no judgment. No, 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 no. You're misunderstanding here. This is God's point of view. He's reconciled to himself the sins of the world, the fallenness of mankind, the brokenness. He sees the blood of Jesus now. Jesus, the great intercessor in between. Jesus, who has offered his own blood. Jesus, who has opened the way. He sees that looking at the world. He sees that looking at Campbell River, looking at your family, looking at the worst persons you could think of. He sees that, not counting, not adding it up, not taking a sum of the trespasses against him. He sees what he did. Now, the message, though, is be reconciled to God. On the world's side, they need to reconcile. You follow? On their side, people still live in sin. On their side, people still live outside of Christ. On their side, there is a judgment day going to come. But on God's side, his flow and his heart is nothing in between. Can you imagine that? When you start to get a hold of that, it shifts the way you approach people. He's reconciled to himself, it says, all things. All things. So, what about this? You know, what about the worst, the vilest? What about ISIS? Those murderers. Those demonized murderers. What's God see? Well, God knows what they're doing. God knows the dark and demonic powers that are there. But you know what? He sees their souls. You believe that? You hear about some, there was one person who gave himself over to them. It's reported in the news, at least if you're looking at the Christian news, with hopes of winning some. And you say, well, what would motivate a person like that? Because he could give himself over as a martyr because he was compelled by the love of Christ. He didn't see murderers. He could see people who were lost and need saving. You follow what I'm saying? Now listen, you can't make yourself do this. And that's why I started out with Paul's describing his inability. He's the same guy that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the guy saying at the start of 2 Corinthians, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, but we are crushed beyond measure. We've lost hope. We are being squeezed down. We thought there was no hope left, but God gave us the way out. We saw it looked like there was no road, and then God gave us the road. You see what I'm saying? He's saying, no, this is coming from the Lord. And we can have it. And I believe not only can we have it, we have to have it. This is the hour we have to have it. This is, I think, the nature of revival in our time is going to be filled up with God's love for the world. We have to have it. How can we exist without it? Otherwise, what we're doing was we're just trying so hard and we're running out of gas. And that's my experience. Without this, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Wow. That's the part of what the radio ministry is about here in Campbell River, to be declaring that grace. You know, I'll tell you what, I can get on that microphone and I start speaking there. I start speaking about the love of God for the city on the mic, even if it's just recording for, you know, next day or something. I feel the presence of God just start coming down over me. Oh, my goodness, every time he begins to confirm it. Oh, I just sit there, and it's like I'm talking, and I'm soaking at the same time. It's like, God, oh, man, do you know how much God loves our city? He loves those ones that are broken and weary. He loves those ones that are the alcoholics and addict. He loves those ones at work that are mouthy and swearing, and you can't stand. Oh, may God bring us past seeing the outer man and seeing what God actually sees. That's a transformation. You know, I know there's some that are really committing to pray about the abortion situation that goes on in Canada, and it's grievous. But listen to me carefully. I want you to understand this. Is when the love of God comes into you so much so that you can pray and weep for the salvation of the abortionist, and you're moved that way, you will see stuff starting to happen. That's where we've got to get. That's when you'll see things start to break through and happen. It'll be surprising. It'll be surprising because you're on the track where the heart of God is, God's love and life and salvation. He wants to bring it into all those people, all those people. You know, we've all got people in our life and look on the outside and they're irritating and, you know, and you ever wonder what people think of you? You're bouncy and happy at work and everything else, and then you go away and they're probably just talking about you and they don't understand anything. Well, we do the same thing to them, you know. And a lot of Christians gossip a lot about the faults and failures of other people. And one of the worst things that we do as Christians is we get into our religious analysis of the government and of the prophetic times. And I don't mean we shouldn't follow prophetically what's going on, but what I'm saying is I think we come often at the looking at what's happening prophetically in the nation and the issues of wickedness that is rising in our nation, the issues of where governments go. Right now, particularly in the United States, a lot of negative things that are happening. You can get in the wrong spirit. Oh, yeah, I mean, listen to this just for a second. Satan is the accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. And what can happen is, out of a Christian analysis, we can latch on to the spirit of the accuser and we begin agreeing with the accuser about governments or about this person or that, or even roast the pastor on Sunday at lunch. You see what I'm saying? We can get into this accusative thing about Obama and all this stuff because we can see, yes, we see how the kingdom of darkness may be operating and how prophetic things are lining up. and we can get into agreeing with the accuser, guess what? All we do is reinforce it. And we get into the spiritual battle. You just reinforce it. Devil's just got you in the ring. That's all that's going on there. Or we have a completely different heart when we see those things. Lord, fill me with your love for our government, for Obama, if you're thinking about the U.S., for Harper, for our government, for our city council. You know, I'm there every week when the city council meets. I'm sitting there running the TV, right? Isn't that funny? It's not just a job. I sit there working it, and most of the time I have to pay attention to what I'm doing. But I think, well, God, why did you put me here? I don't, you know, really speak in the meetings. I know them. I've prayed with many of them sometimes and stuff. But what's this about, you know? You see, you bring in the right spirit. You bless them. Just that. And begin to watch. God, what are you doing? What are you opening? How are you working? So rather than agreeing with the accuser, we begin to agree with the kingdom of God. We begin to see what Christ has done for every single one of them. We begin to see the power of redemption and pray for it to be unleashed in the name of Jesus. We become a people getting filled with the Spirit and motivated and moved by the love of God, that love anointing. And that's what I find is happening. It's quite an astounding and amazing thing. And, just because I'm going to run out of time shortly here, let me say this. When I began to experience this, I wanted God to put this love in every area of my life. God took that prayer seriously. And what he started to show me was what was really running certain areas of my life. And I had a little confrontation over and over. I'd have a little confrontation on this one, on that one. On worry, on fear, on jealousy, on the accuser, on, you know, he just showed me this. And I'd have to die to those things so that love could live. You follow? That's what Paul said. There's a place, and this is where I'm going to wrap up, not only inviting you in a moment to come up and I'll pray that the Lord would impart that love to you, but also you pursue it. You pursue it, and when God brings into your face your own weakness, like Paul talked about, your own flesh, the own fallen nature that's looming there, you say, this died with Christ. Worry died with Christ. Fear died with Christ. I've had to battle those ones over finances for the station and for me. It died with Christ. That's the flesh. That's the old man. Instead of fighting with it, I say, no, you died with Christ. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Cleanse me of this. And he does. He will cleanse you so that the love can work in. He will cleanse these things out. That's just the way it works. And more flow of the Lord begins to come in. Let's stand up right now. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just reach our hands up for a moment? Maybe there's some here this morning that would like special prayer, just so I could lay hands on you and pray for that impartation of that love of God. But let's just pray generally right now. Father in heaven, thank you. Just say it out loud. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom and for your love that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself. Not counting the world's sins against us. Lord, I want to be filled with your love. Will you begin to anoint me with your love? I invite your love anointing into my life. Just like Jesus prayed that the same love the Father put in him would be in us. Lord, I receive that love today. Lord, I give you permission to shine your light in every place in my heart that is a hindrance to your love flowing. I want it out of there. I want to be a man or woman of the Spirit. I want to flow in your Spirit and your love. Come, Lord, and do your work in me today. Amen. Thank you, Lord.